All right. Brown, if you could mute your phone.
Okay.
Everybody mute your phones, please. Thank you. Welcome to the call. I give you my peace. Let's start with prayer, please. Kind Father, as we bow before you, we step into your presence. It is a joy when we can come before you, and that, Father, we can experience these precious moments with you. It was nice to have the word this morning. We listened to both services to receive strength from your word, to receive encouragement, but most importantly, Father, to have our sins forgiven. And now we have the opportunity to spend more time with you, see the hearts that have gathered with us as we all bow before you out of reverence and love and praise and thankfulness. The concerns that we have in our heart are not greater than the need for us to learn and to be with you. So we pray that you will give us the strength to carry whatever concern we have. If you wish to take it off of us, that is your choice. But there are many things that are resting on our hearts that we want to talk with you about, to share with the team, to learn. We look forward to your message for us also. And we are thankful for these moments that we can share with you. They are fleeting and far between. And even with the current situation going on in this world, Father, it just causes us to come closer to you. Thank you for everything you do. Provide your blessing on this evening hour. Grant us again your peace as well. And as always, according to what we ask, and in your name we pray, please hear us. Father, we love you. Amen. All right. I spoke with Father, and this is what he had to say. My very dear children, what shall we talk about this evening? How about you? Struggles and hardships are all part of becoming a guardian and a bride. Life without hardships is a life unfulfilled. It is through the difficult times that I can show you what you are made of. You prove nothing to me, for I am the one who created you and laid into you your gifts, strengths, and shortcomings. I therefore prove you to you. All of you are more than the sum of your experiences and life. How is that statement quantified? I will simply say, you ain't seen nothing yet. You have many things, many gifts inside of you that I have not even unlocked. I speak to all of you, not just the guardians. I need all of you for this task. Now, with all of that said, I expect more from you than others. I have said in the past, I have taught you more and have enlightened you more than others. You hold a knowledge in your hearts that others would love to know. Sometimes I think you take that for granted. Please do not. I ask this of you now. Do you long for these meetings? Are you excited to spend time with me and my boys? Do you understand just how special this time is for me and you? I cherish this time. Do you prepare for the meetings as if you were preparing for a class? Do you think about what you would like me to share with you? Do you ask me questions? Maybe you did not know that you could. This meeting is a little different than a service. You are closer to me, and I open up to you more. I do not hold back. I pour my heart and blessings over you because it is my pleasure to do so. Have you figured out just how special you are to me and how I hold you in my heart? Maybe you do now. Do not ever forget this. The time that is coming around the corner when the church will be split in two and broken is closer than you think. I do know that in this current time, the USA services are lacking even more. Tune into the Canadian services. There is meat there. The U.S. apostles are lost. They are being influenced, as you can feel, and I am allowing this. They should know better. Do not think for a moment that I would allow one of my children to fall. The foundation was laid years ago. As I said before, if it does not feel right, it is not right. The soul knows because I know. Your souls, mankind's soul, is me. I am the truth. I am love and kindness. Most souls try to bury and ignore what they feel. You fight. My children are fighters. The bride is a warrior who will fight to overcome themselves. Life is not easy. Life is difficult. But life is also filled with joy, happiness, and love. You are what you seek. Do you seek after me or the world? Where is your joy found? Is it not found in serving me and others? I always tell you that I love you more than you will ever know. Also know that I care about your development, schooling, and the path I create for you to walk on so that you will end this task on the day we are found in a fatherly embrace. I love you more. Does anyone have any questions? Anybody have any comments?
I'm happy there's finally USA services.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good to watch two services today.
I agree.
Well, I think we have to watch another service today. We didn't watch the Canada service today.
Oh, it's good. It's a different point, different text.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say it's better or worse, but Canada has a different energy, you know, behind the services, I've noticed. And I don't know. It's interesting. Today's service is great by our apostle. But watching the two back-to-back, it was interesting to feel the different energies. Of course, we're probably more sensitive than others, but it was good. Very good, both of them.
So can we watch the Canada services recorded?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure. The last time I went in there, I wanted to see the recorded service of the whoever you said was really nice, and I went a couple days late, and there was someone else, and so I wasn't sure. We'll get it figured out.
They're still there. You just have to go to the next page. I can send you a video on how to do it.
Oh, thank you. You're awesome, Fred. Thank you. You have a question, though.
Okay.
Kind of at this point, if that's okay. Last week, Father's message to us said, or not last week, last month, sorry. Well, I had a long month this week.
That's okay.
In the message, he said coronavirus or something, and that's enough on that topic. Could we get just a little bit more?
You're going to have to wait, because that's under my not worthless but interesting tidbit.
Okay. And you know, and specifically, Father's direction for us and that kind of stuff, but we can wait.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else? Any comments on the services?
I thought it was pretty cool how the district apostle used Tobit. How all of us, you know, how Tobit had to live his faith restricted, right? He wouldn't allow openly practice his faith. How he went to Jerusalem and gave alms, how he gave, that was a tithe, and then a tithe to the high priest, and then gave a tithe to the poor, right? And how the king wouldn't allow the Israelites to bury their dead, and how Tobit would have to do it at night. you know, and it, even in this day that we live in, with the circumstances that we live in, it doesn't exclude or excuse us from practicing our faith, right? We still have to do the things that we used to do, right? And participate and help out in every, you know, in whatever capacity that we are in, right? So I thought that was interesting.
I agree. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you, everyone. We have Bible passages. Tracis will read those. I don't know, Fred, if you're going to post them. Tracis.
Okay. Andrew sent these to me, and I misunderstood. It was interesting. We were talking about Bible verses, and I thought he wanted me to use this for the meeting, but it actually is quite apropos. He's not reading because he has a huge migraine, so I'm trying to send good energy to him, but I'm happy to read this. So this is out of the King, New King James Version, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, and then also chapter 12. So, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the tests of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The 12th verse reads, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I read this several times, and I don't know what Andrew's felt towards it, but we were talking about the current situation and politics and all that other nonsense, but it's quite interesting how this ties into Father's message and actually both services as well. So, you know, and I loved, Jerry had mentioned Tobit, that what a great, I started reading it. It's an obscure Bible, a chapter in the Apocrypha, but boy, it's full of exactly what we need. So I encourage you to read James and Tobit because it'll help you if you have troubles specifically with what's going on. I've read this. I love James. It's great. I love my brother too, but I love James in the Bible because it's plain speaking. It's not very flowery words in it. It's wonderful. So that's it for now.
Thank you. Sucking up to me will get you nowhere.
Dang it.
Mm-hmm.
You're my favorite brother.
Thank you. Okay. Well, Tracis, we'll keep the ball rolling. You have another religion for us.
Yeah. So this is great. It's funny. Last week we learned about Spiritism. And there was a ton of data inside Wikipedia, which I always find suspect. So I try to go outside Wikipedia. And this week is spiritualism. And there was almost nothing on it except what was in Wikipedia. But I'll bring down why at the end. So basically spiritualism and spiritism were started about the same time. They both hold the sisters, the Fox sisters in 1850, and a couple other mediums that came out of it. They state that Emanuel Swedenborg, were their creative juices. This is where they got their ideas. Spiritualism specifically deals with mediums, seances, discarnate humans, basically. So it's very interesting when you go through the history, and they talk about spirit guides, and I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to bounce around, but Fred will post the three pages that I have. I will read some specifics out of it, but the whole thing where we see in movies about mediums and even the television show and and movies. This spiritualism is what is that. That is what they have. There's actually an organization that has some loose rules. If you want to be a medium, they have a school you can go through. The main belief is that they believe they can communicate with spirits of dead people. They regard this as a gift. Seances, of course, we've all seen the movies, are the biggest way that they can do it. But also, like on the medium, so she can just tune into her spirit guide, and spirit guide supposedly will share with her history in the past, even in the future. When you look at the their beliefs, there's nine. They originally start out with six. You know, I can read a few. We believe in infinite intelligence. We affirm that a correct understanding of such expressions and living accordance within their constitutes a true religion. It's pretty obscure. There's quite a few references to religion, but they don't consider themselves a religion per se. What's interesting is there, one of the beliefs, the last one was originally created in the 1850s, 1870s, was we believe in the highest morality and in the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So there is a moral stance. Now, during that time, there are a lot of charlatans, a lot of people, even Harry Houdini, who loved his mother, and if you know any history about that, actually offered many mediums that if they could prove there was life after death, he would give them a large sum of money. I don't know how much that was, but it would have been a large sum of money even in this time. And he always disproved them, all of them. So having said that, there was the author E.H. Wallace wrote a book in 1912, and they actually have an excerpt, a later copy on Amazon that you can buy. Now, I printed in the notes, or not printed, but posted an excerpt, and I'm going to read that because it's very interesting. The wisest and best people of the spirit world and of all high-minded spiritualists demand a mediumship embodying the highest morality and the greatest aspirations for good, the beautiful, the intellectual, and the true and spiritual. While looking for all these blessed attributes, we should not forget the true words attributed to Jesus of Nazareth. None are perfect. No, not one. Also, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The last is a beautiful ideal though it might be impossible of attainment. And yet, if we aspire for good, we must improve, such is the law. Let us give to the spirit friends the very best in thought, in aspiration, and in deed. Hope, prayerful aspiration, earnest effort, and cheerfulness must be our thoughts and lives if we would develop rapidly. I read that and thought, that could be part of a church service we have. It was very interesting because he was one of the early ones. If you go into the actual text, though, they turn it into a more of a science of philosophy. There was an argument early on: is this a religion? Is it a movement? Is it something else? So they put spiritualism is a science, philosophy, and religion of continuous life based on the demonstrative fact of communication. Spiritualism is a philosophy. Spiritualism is science because it investigates, analyzes, classifies, et cetera, et cetera. So there really is this ambiguous nature to the entire experience. Now, they do not believe in reincarnation, whereas spiritism does believe in reincarnation. So that's where they split. It's quite interesting that was their point of contention. Now, the original organization was the NSA, National Spiritualist Association, and it originally convened in 1899 in Chicago. And they came up with these six original declarations, but then they added three more where we affirm moral responsibility. We affirm that the doorway of reformation is never closed. And we affirm the precept of philosophy or prophecy and healing. When you go back further into their website, so they actually have a new website and it's based out of Wisconsin. They call the acronym is not NAC, but it's NSAC. Okay, and I bring that up because I bet there's going to be a lot of people in the future trying to look up our religion, and we say, "Oh, we're NAC," and they're going to pull up these people's website. Okay, there was a huge argument as to whether spiritualists were also Christians. And they debated that in 1930 and said, no, we're not. So I tried to look for more information on their website. And right now, basically, it's a loose, organized situation where you can get a ministry. You can become a master medium. There's a whole bunch of offices or positions that they have. And if you want, you can actually get certified. They can teach you how to talk to the dead. They can teach you how to do healings. They can do a lot. And I find it very interesting how we as guardians, originally called ourselves healers, that Father changed us to guardians. It was, I never understood why the differentiation, but I'm understanding more now as I go through all the different religions, because these two, spiritism and spiritualism, hold a lot of what we believe, but they're so different. And I really wanted to delve into these two because I want us to get tools to defend ourselves, so to speak. We're not going to have to defend ourselves like Jesus did defend himself, but we're going to have to clarify and quantify how we are not things. And that's my feeling, Trisus, you know, volume one, chapter two, whatever. But Trilin can correct me if not. But I find it very interesting that they have this huge, what would you call it, website. It's very pretty, but there's almost no information on it. Everything that I read is the entirety of this quote-unquote religion or following. So if you want, on the handout, there's a link. You can look at their website. You can look this up on Amazon if you want to know more. But these two are very interesting because, like I said last month, there's a lot of what they believe or hold true is similar to what we do and what we believe, of course, with the definite demonstrative facts that we do not talk to the dead. They cannot really guide us. We do have the ability to speak to those in eternity, but that's not their job. And in both of these situations, spiritism and spiritualism, they wholeheartedly believe that the dead are here to help us. And I wanted to leave on that note. So if anybody have any questions, go ahead.
So essentially, both in spiritism and spiritualism, the medium believes that they are the quote-unquote higher power communicating with the dead and helping the dead and helping the dead help us.
Yes, that is it's their treat, it's their calling. It's interesting. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So also in the future, when someone asks what form of Christianity we do follow, we shouldn't say NAC. We should actually say we are no apostolic Christians.
Correct. I would say that, right, Trilin? Because
yes,
that acronym scared the crap out of me. I was typing it in and I'm like, what? And if you look at the website, it's HTTPSNSAC.org. It's one letter off, right? From our, we don't use that. We don't use NAC.org. There's other words in the address, but yeah, so I would say New Apostolic. We are New Apostolic. And make sure that you say it twice, like, I'm the apostolic. What? New apostolic. Any correct other questions?
So a couple comments. Trisus, when you were talking, I said, yeah, they do a lot of the same things we do. Well, that's what we don't want anyone to think, because it's really not exactly true that way, is it?
When I was reading this, I added the details to basically make sure people know we don't do that, right? I would read through both handouts to make sure we don't do that. We do not, you know, believe that.
But if we make those general statements, that's why I think it's important to understand the difference between spiritists and spiritualists and what they do. But you know, and we already have a good understanding of what we do because we do what Father asks us to do and what we're taught and what comes and the experiences that we have. But even in when we look at these, nothing about our Heavenly Father, God, or anything, or Christianity or anything are involved with them at all.
Right.
So they which is why it scares people. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And since it's scaring people, we have to understand really what that means and what we are doing and we have to be able to effectively differentiate.
Yeah, because Sandy and I have already been accused of this. We, you know, Sandy's been called a medium, you know, by people from church.
You know, the main difference between these two things, though, is we know that we personally are not the ones performing these actions.
It's correct, our Heavenly Father because we don't
through us.
Because we so, Trilin, I think if I remember right, a long time ago, you mentioned that when a soul dies, right, their spirit gets
recycled.
Kind of like recycled, correct. Right? And these people are searching for the soul. What happens to us is a soul will reach out to us.
Correct.
The soul. Not the spirit, right? Obviously not the body, because that'd be something else. But the soul reaches out to us, and 1,000% time is because they are seeking help so that we can remember them for the service that they departed.
Correct.
Other than that, we don't do anything else.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Blazar. That's a hard line in the sand there between what we do and what they do. You're right. And never have I had a soul reach out to me and say, hey, here's what you need to do, or here's how this works, or here's how that works. It's always, can you help?
Yep. Correct.
Pray for me.
Correct.
And I wanted to ask Trilin while we were on the subject, you know, the soul goes to its realm, the spirit gets recycled. Could that be why they think there's reincarnation?
That's exactly why.
Okay, thank you. I was going to add that to my notes, but they are talking to a spirit that's been in a lot of people's bodies, right?
Correct. I mean,
so they think they're talking to a soul when they've actually talking to the spirit. And, you know, thank you. I wanted to make sure that we knew that. But I love this discussion because it's yes. Really it's clarifying what we do versus what we didn't. I didn't know how to end it, but thank you, everybody, for participating and getting that line in the sand. I like that. And I will listen to over this recording and type out what was said, because it's exactly what we do versus what we don't do. So,
right. And then I'll expand a little bit on this, why Father calls us guardians instead of healers.
Thank you.
He made the statement that we protect the bride of Christ. We don't heal her.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Why we're guardians.
Perfect. As he is.
Yes. Anybody else have anything else they'd like to add? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just making one more note. Okay. Fred, if you want to throw that slide up now, please. I thought we could, for the next couple meetings, discuss the Apostles' Creed. And I asked Fred to put up our first article of faith. And I would like, as I read this, I would like you to think a little bit farther as what Father also is for you. Because I have a couple things here that I believe he is. But I would like to hear from you guys too, because this is not just who he is. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You can go to the NAC website, NAC USA website, or the Canadian one, and you can go into where it delves more into what our articles of faith are and what they believe. We're just going to brush over them as we go through the meeting. The site, our team site, I also had Fred post a long time ago, the link to get to the 10 articles of faith. But I think it's important that we, as guardians, understand the foundation of what our faith is. As Father addressed in the message this evening, he stated that if something doesn't feel right, it's not. And last month he said, those who have a firm foundation will know when something is not right. the foundation that we stand on is our doctrine, and the doctrine is the Apostles' Creed. That does not change. Despite all the things that the church tries to do to make everybody happy, this is the one constant thing that will not change. Father will not flex on this. He is God. He is our Father. He is the Almighty. He is the creator of heaven and earth. But for me, he's also a teacher. For me, he's also a character, and he has a good sense of humor. He is more than the sum of what we read here and what I think a lot of people put him in a box for. So I thought it'd be nice if everybody, if you wish, can participate right now in this moment, if anybody would like to share what they feel Father also is. Anyone?
He's perfect.
Good answer.
Yeah, I would say he's all-encompassing. Recently, and the reason I say that, I bring that up specifically because recently the class that I'm taking in school is being taught by a retired Baptist pastor. And I put in one of my papers that, you know, all human beings are children of God. And he said, that's not true. You have to be reborn in Christ to be a child of God. And I pushed back on that and said, Father created us all. We are all children of God. So when I think of Father, I think of him as all-encompassing, having put everyone here for a specific reason, wanting us all to know him, to love him, to honor and cherish him.
Correct.
So was I right in saying that all human beings are children of God? Whether they know it or not.
Well, that actually it doesn't go against our faith, but in our faith, we are taught that we are born without a real connection to Father. We are baptized and we become a friend of God. We have taken that first step that the Lord Jesus said, these are the steps that have to be taken. And then when we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, then we actually become a child of God. And then it's like he puts his DNA in us. We are part of him. So this, the overall statement that we're all created by God, but
yes,
we are not all children of God just because. And
that is,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I don't want to offend, but it's just to make that statement. I see why he pushed back, because in their church, they have that teaching and the Lord Jesus established, this is how you get to the Father. That's all.
Nope, that makes sense. Thank you for clarifying.
This is Sandy. When you were talking about that just now, you made me think of a lesson that we had recently as part of Faith Arc with the youth, where we asked the kids to think of three different types of relationships in their life. One is somebody who is like a parent or a grandparent, one who is a teacher or a mentor, and then one who's a friend. And then related that back to, that goes back to the Trinity, and we find all of that in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yes, that's beautiful. Anybody else want to share?
I have all the respect for Father, and I would never bring him down to a human term other than because of my brain sometimes, but he's my guy. I talk to him all day long, like he's standing right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good, but the connection I have with him is right there, and I rely on him for everything from standing to picking up to eating to don't let me choke on this. I mean, I'm quite literally praying every waking moment. In fact, this morning I had a dream that I was praying in my dream. So, you know, I don't want to bring Father down to the human stature, but I rely on him as though he was standing right next to me. And what's funny is somebody made a comment once when we were visiting the African-American churches. It's like, boy, you brothers rely on God so much. What's wrong with Jesus? And I had to laugh, right? Where we really we're God-centric, not Jesus-centric, if that is the proper word. You guys could probably come up with a better way of explaining it, but
no, you're correct. We used to be.
Right. I mean, I want to rely more on Jesus, and I always go, and Jesus too. Right. But I'm always praying because we've been taught to pray to God, right. To the Father.
Yeah.
So, but he's my guy. He's right there. And then I'll switch gears. If I need something or need to help somebody, then I hate to say this, I put him back on his throne, you know, so to speak, instead of, and then it's more formal, but when I'm not praying, he's right there for me. So that's my thought.
Thank you.
I think I'd say we're Trinity centric, right? Because all three are necessary, are all encompassing, right? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Right. And so that how they say, well, what about Jesus? But, you know, we need the Holy Spirit and we need Jesus and we need God equally, no less, no more. Right. It's all the same because that's how the amazing thing about his divinity is he is three in one and he has gifts as Father, and then Jesus has gifts of Son, and the Holy Spirit has gifts as the Spirit, right? So that's something that, you know, that's what's so dynamic about the God that we believe in. It's not just one being. It's not that it's not like a one-trick pony, per se, right?
Right.
And so my experience with God would be he's all-knowing. We go through circumstances in our life, and sometimes we don't know why. Like last year, we got hit by two hailstorms, one right after the other. And people, you know, my wife's uncle lost his whole crop. You know, it was a total loss and people were, you know, their vehicles got damaged and I was like, oh, this really stinks. But what was happening is I was making money and I was making a lot of money. I was making 2 months worth of work in 2 weeks. And I thought, man, this is really, you know, this really sucks for them, but this is really good for me. And thankfully, through that money that I was able to save, I'm barely looking at a car a week now. But this windfall, this circumstance that was horrible, when I looked at it, I was like, this is horrible. But a year later, or 8 months later, I'm reaping the benefits from it because I'm not having to go to unemployment. You know, and so our Heavenly Father puts us in positions so that we could see, we can look at it and go, this is such a horrible situation that I'm in. But like months later or years later, we can go, wow, this is amazing how good God is that he allowed me to live through this circumstance so that I can come through it and see the blessing out of what the curse was presented to me in the beginning. You know.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah. To me, Father is everything. I mean, he is love. He is knowledge. He is strength. Really, you look at any of the virtues, so to speak, of the archangels. He is all of those things.
Good point. Thank you, everyone. I want to focus in on these things because I don't think we give the Trinity enough credit as I feel is due them, and what Father does for us and all the things that happen around us that we're not even aware could have happened to us that Father prevents or allows. So in that same vein, let's talk about why Father didn't talk about COVID-19 last month. And if you noticed, he didn't talk about it again this meeting. And I'll be very to the point. The reason is because all this is a test. And it's become a distraction. Let me share a different story with you too, and then I'll expand a little more on this. My wife and I were watching a documentary about back at the end of the 1990s, beginning of 2000s. There was a big scandal with the Monopoly game with McDonald's. And I'm not sure anybody remembers that happened. But there was a specific group of people who won the $1 million. And it was because the mafia got involved and stole the game pieces for the winning $1 million. And it was this huge FBI investigation that took place to uncover this whole thing. And they were about to lay down all the indictments and everything and break the big news in 2001. They did. They broke it. And then what happened is the 9/11 accident happened. And it took away from that entire story, and nobody really even thought about it. And as my wife and I watched this documentary, I looked at her and I went, "Do you even remember the scandal?" And she went, "No, I don't." I said, "I don't either, but we all do remember 9/11. The reason Father has allowed this virus to happen is to help us focus on what is important. Is this physical life what we focus on? Are we afraid at any point in our life that we would think that something of this life that we live in would harm us? Father gave his word that no physical harm is ever going to come to us. Do you think he would allow us to get sick, knowing that he needs us for this plan? And then ultimately, why would we let this situation distract us from what's important? And that's our faith in Father and our trust. And the world doesn't even realize how insignificant this really is when you boil it down against other illnesses that have struck the world. This thing is not as horrible as everybody keeps saying it is. Does it have an impact? It sure does. And we pray for those souls who've lost their lives. And if Father decides that he would take them through this method, then who are we to question that? Now, what are we supposed to continue doing? Well, we're supposed to be smart. You know, we're not going to go out where the world is infected and now get exposed to it. We're going to make sure that we follow whatever the government's guidelines are for social distancing and so and so. But ultimately, we can't be distracted by this. The news takes this and they run with it and they turn it into something that it doesn't need to be. And you and I have a faith in Father that should be deeply rooted in the words that he's given us, that we are never alone. He's always there for us. And even our watchword, the first line of it is that not even any weapon that could be forged against us can harm us. This can be used as a weapon. That's basically what it is. Did I answer the question? Does anybody have anything they'd like to add?
I'd like to just add something to that. And thank mm-hmm. you for that. It's really nice. Cindy first hit me and said, that's why I'm okay, because Father needs, she said me, but needs her too. But the point is, I had a conversation with someone, a fellow member in the New Apostolic Church, and in the whole conversation, all they talked about was COVID-19 and all the things that they're doing to make sure that they're safe and what they're thinking about. And I was thinking about this, and I got a cough, and I had this, and the whole conversation was about that. And I have a good enough relationship with this individual that I said, why are you obsessing about this? Mm-hmm. And after I said the words, I thought, well, that's pretty harsh, you know, but that's what the Holy Spirit said, because it's exactly what you just told us. And what's so beautiful is that when we're doing what Father wants us to do and we're open to HS speaking, then those things happen. And then we get another confirmation that that's exactly what it's all about.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Treyland, you've said in the past that Father's revealed things to you that he hasn't revealed to us. We know that. And I'm just curious, is this something that maybe he revealed to you or something that maybe is tied to Revelation somehow and his work around all that and the coming of the Lord Jesus?
He has not shared this with me. It is part of the end time plan. Personally, I think there's something more that's coming. Someone that works with my wife is involved in the government, and they said that they believe that this COVID virus thing was a preemptive strike to test our ability in the United States to cope and see how we would work through something. And our own government believes that there's something even bigger that's coming. And so now they believe because of this situation, we'll be better prepared for when the next thing comes. But ultimately for you and I, us, as new apostolics, we don't ever have anything to fear. And this is, again, just a distraction. It takes away what's important, our focus on our faith. Nothing should change for you and I. Granted, we can't go to work as much as we would like to or go back to the way normal was for us. And my wife and I are concerned because she got laid off was, as anybody would be, well, how are we going to survive financially? You know, unemployment doesn't pay as much and blah, blah, blah. And we both kind of looked at each other and laughed for a brief moment. And we went, Father's got this. He's got this. And to be honest, we are not in any financial ruin. We're not any worse off than we were before. Father has taken care of us and he will continue to take care of us. And the problem is we sometimes put Father in a box when something happens in this world and we forget that he's not of this world and we should not be either. Choir.
Okay.
Anybody?
One thing I wanted to ask you, because it was brought out in the service last weekend with the chief apostle. And I thought it was really interesting how he said it, because we had actually had this discussion in our small group prior to the service, because we're not getting Holy Communion, right?
Right.
And he had mentioned in the service how, you know, the act of getting Holy Communion, that's a gift of grace that he gives to us and has given to us. And at this time, he's taken it away. And I think that's how he said it. Isn't that how he said it, Shani? That he's taken it away. And so my thought when the chief apostle brought that up is, I think, you know, how often maybe we get complacent mm-hmm. with the gifts that Father gives to us, and we kind of go through the motions. And I just keep thinking all this week that, you know, maybe that's part of it. Maybe he's taking this away to show us that we need to get closer.
That's exactly right. Because even, I'm not sure if it was the chief apostle that made the point or it was a district apostle service. One of them made the point that our attendance numbers were declining 5% every year prior to the COVID situation. And now it's up 40% attendances. Because when there's problems, then we all come running to Father. I had a rector who once said to me at one point, which isn't funny, but I laughed. He said, you know what we need right now, Jim? We need a war to shake the world and bring us all to our knees and bring us closer to Father. And I kind of looked at him and went, that's crazy talk, but you're right, because it's through, like Father said, difficult times that he proves to us what we're made of. And I would say Holy Communion is a huge gift for us, and I know all of us, are missing it and were longing for it. And it confounded me that the Canadian apostles would pray the absolution over us and we would get our sins forgiven. But the States decided that we didn't need that. And it was so nice that the Disc Apostle held a service today where he did perform that for us, because I kept saying to Father, well, okay, we can't have Holy Communion, but now we're sitting here wallowing in our sins. That's not okay. It's not okay. And you should also know that despite not being able to share in the body and blood of our brother, the strength that we would receive from that sacrament, Father gives us a little extra in his word to tide us over until we can celebrate that sacrament again. Okay? I forgot to tell you all that, and I'm glad that HS reminded me. But it's good. Good point, Sandy, because we do take things for granted. We go through the motions of it. We thought it was so, you know, sometimes we get tired of having to go to service. Now we can't wait to go to service again. It's a beautiful time.
I've heard a lot, too, that this could be a tipping point for a lot of folks who are kind of on the border with their faith. Spirituality in general is going to start increasing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good point you make that they said that attendance is up 40%. I think we're going to see a bit of a boost here in the church. I don't know how long it'll last, but it'll be interesting to see.
Until the next pandemic hits.
Right. Until the plague comes back around.
Exactly.
Hey, there's that old saying from, I don't know, some movie or some war things, like there are no atheists in foxholes.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. And I keep thinking, well, no wonder it's up 40%. Good. You know, but I'm, you know, we don't need a war, please.
No. Well, we already got one.
No, but you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I know it's funny to laugh about that, but that would, I mean, this is craziness enough for now, please, Father.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Trilon, I have another question. When the chief apostle was held a service last week for us, and he talked about COVID-19, and he made the statement that, you know, don't think that this is the coming at the end of the world. There's nothing in the Bible about COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it kind of sounded like he was just saying, you know, just, this isn't a sign of the times. And I don't know, you know, And when you hear something like that, you go, wait a minute. And so you say that if it doesn't feel right, it's not. So help mm-hmm. us out here.
It is a sign of the times. He's correct. It does not state in Scripture anywhere, COVID-19. But the Scripture states rumors of wars and difficult times and plagues and blah, 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 blah. Right, exactly. And that's exactly what this falls under. And the biggest thing, I think what they're trying to do is stem panic, is make everybody feel good, which is not what Father's intention is. For my wife and I, and I'll give my wife credit on this point, anytime something huge happens in this world, she smiles at me and goes, Father's just moving his plan along. That just gets us closer to the end game. And that's correct. Anytime something happens in this world, that's just Father moving his plan along as he said he would. Because some people seem to think that our faith is not evolving, that it's not going deeper, that we're not growing in some way. But look at us now compared to where we were 2 months ago. We can't wait to hear a service. We can't wait to have our sins forgiven. We can't wait to participate in Holy Communion once again. And Father did take that gift away from us. And you don't know what you got until it's gone, right? But when the chief apostle made that statement, Q, I had the exact same feeling. I went, no, I don't agree with that statement. It's correct. We're not supposed to panic everybody and go, it's the end of the world as we know it. Go ahead.
Is there a reason that he said it that way, though, as opposed to saying, we don't know, we're not sure, we're just going to continue as is and have faith?
You don't ever want to hear a leader say, I don't know.
But no one knows.
Correct.
Well, but it's awfully. That, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
He brought that as the concept. So I listened to it and then I rewound it and I listened to it again. He was bringing up the context of this COVID versus what some countries and some parts of the world have to deal with daily. If you rewind it, he basically said that there are traumas and things. And then he brought up the fact that in some parts of Africa, they lost 160,000 children just to the measles.
That's right.
That was the wider point. So it wasn't, it's not like he stopped and went period, underline. It was part of the larger point that, hey, this is just part of what we got to deal with. And again, because I rewound it, so please, I encourage all of you to go find that part of the service and rewind it again. And again, I'm not trying to correct anybody here, but it's been bugging me since he said it. And now I remember that I rewound it because I think, well, why would he say that, right? But now our discussion makes sense now as to why I remember that part. So,
which goes hand in hand with why Father doesn't even bring it up. This shouldn't be that big a deal. And everybody's making it into a huge deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that really clarified it. Thank you, Trisus, for saying it that way.
Yeah. It was interesting. I like it's funny, you can't rewind a real service, but I like this electronic version. You're like, wait, what did he say? And then play again. It's like, hey, that's kind of cool.
I think what's also interesting is, and I think that chief apostles shy away from that kind of speak because of the past, where the chief apostle Bischoff would, you know, said that he, you know, when I die, the Lord will come, you know. And so I think the chief apostles really want to shy away from that kind of speak. We were in a small group, and one of the members said, we had the apostle and the bishop in our small group that Wednesday, and this brother asked, it says in Revelations that the yellow race will develop an illness to decimate the people of God, you know. And I was like, what? I pretty much read Revelations pretty good, and I've never heard nor seen anyone say that, or have I ever read that, right? So someone said, well, it's in this verse. So he read it, and it talked about a multitude of people. He goes, the apostle's like, I don't see that. And he said, Revelations is something for the chief apostle to discern. And he said, our focus is to be part of the bride of Christ. It is not to concern ourselves about how the end time will occur or what will cause it to end. We're supposed to prepare ourselves to be the bride of Christ. And that is the main focus for us as new apostolics, is not to concern ourselves about how the end time will be or what will be the signs, but the main focus should be that the bride of Christ is prepared for that time when it does occur, that the rapture will take place and that we will be part of the rapture, right? So, and I thought about that. This is pretty interesting, because usually what happens is when something scary occurs, right? Like 9/11, the way they've got this COVID-19 all set up, you know, they make it sound like, you know, the sky is falling. And, you know, regardless of what happens, whether we have pestilence, whether we have war, whether death is on our door, you know, those who believe in God have that comfort that we will be protected, right? Just like in Passover, right? The angel of death went throughout the land in Passover, right? Unless you had the mark of the Lamb upon your door, you know, he would pass it by. But if you didn't, and if you didn't believe to put the mark of the Lamb on there, you would die as well. And so our Heavenly Father always has a way for salvation, and he tells us, trust in me, believe in me, and follow what I do, right?
Right, and don't sweat the small stuff.
Regardless of what, right, I mean, because, You know, I was watching this thing about the 90s, and it was talking about Y2K, right? And this guy went and sold everything in California, and he went to the Californian desert, and he stockpiled, right? And he thought, you know, the end was coming because of Y2K. And, you know, nothing happened. Everybody, you know, they were able to fix everything. You know, no bombs went off or anything like that, you know. And people, you know, called him out. And he just thought, well, this is what I needed to do. I needed to prepare. And he even said he still hasn't eaten any of his stockpile, you know, from 1999. This guy hasn't even gone through it, you know. So there's two things that we have to do. That it is believe in what our Heavenly Father has for us, trust in Him, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. You know, like the District Apostle mentioned, we have to pray more. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit more. Mm-hmm. But we also, because of circumstances that we have that surround us, doesn't mean that we bury our heads in the sand and wait for the end to come. Because that'd be just like in the parable of the talents, right? Where that one guy grabbed his talent, buried it in his handkerchief, and he's like, well, I'm just waiting for you to come back. And that's what I'm going to do. And here you go. You know, and what did he do? He took it from the one and he gave it to the other that was more successful with it.
Thank you. Just the last thing I wanted to share. We had the Apostle Orlovsky a couple months ago, and he held a service where we were. And he made the point of how are we supposed to love our neighbor as ourself? Because it's a difficult task because, granted, we don't love our neighbors. We don't get along with all of them. We judge, we persecute, we ridicule. So he thumbed it down to basically if you want to love your neighbor as yourself, what you're going to say to them is you want them to have the same salvation that you have. And that's where being the bride, that makes it our job. There may come an opportunity where our neighbor approaches us and we have that conversation with them. And we have that opportunity to share the salvation that you and I have. Now they have it for themselves. For me, that was a big clarity because I've been on the fence a lot, kept telling Father, there's no way in heck I can love that guy. I'm trying. Jesus, help me love him like you do. But it's not as simple as that. But this, yeah, I would love all of mankind to have the same grace and love that you and I share in, that we can all go home. Does anybody have anything else they would like to share? Q, we're going to have to move what you were going to share for next month, if that's okay, please.
Yes, that is fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for participating and sharing your heart with us. I asked Atmos to pray. So, Atmos.
Dear loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening to thank you for the time we were able to spend together. We spend most of our time virtually with most of our friends and family and other friends and family and brothers and sisters in Christ as much as we can. It hurts not to be with them physically, Father, to see them, to be able to shake their hand, to see the smiles, to be close to them in their space and understand when they're hurting and when we need the help and when and where we can help. It makes it very difficult, Father, but we know that you've done this for a reason. You've given us this test to prove to us that we are your children, that we are truly guardians, and that anything is impossible. Nothing is impossible, rather, that you built us to overcome the impossible, Father. You put us here for that. So, as we go through this and continue to learn, we ask that you would help us understand what it is you need us to understand. We pray, Father, for the church. We pray for the church leaders. We pray for Team Triland. We pray for Triland and Starlight as well. We thank you for all of them. We ask that you would grant a special blessing for them all. Help us all to overcome. And we look forward to the day that you will send your son to come get us and be with you. We believe in you, God, because you are our Father. You are the almighty creator of heaven and earth, as we saw today in the Apostles' Creed. And we just thank you for bringing that back into the forefront of our minds, Father, because sometimes we may neglect that thought or take it for granted. Father, I pray that you would grant us all the grace, the peace, the joy, and the mercy we need to get through this next month. We enjoy spending time with our team. We love you so very much, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Have a great week,
thank
everybody.
You.
Love you.
Thanks,
love you.
Love you.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Bye.